This is Speaking of Events, the podcast for event industry leaders. We bring together innovators, strategic rock stars, and visionary creatives to talk all about events, industry trends, and anything in between. And speaking of events, here is your host, Kerry Garbus.
It's a new season of Speaking of Events. Who knew I could talk this much? You know what? Actually, I knew I could talk this much. It is a new season and it is time for me to up my game and change it up. And definitely it is time for me to up my game in my introductions, because as much as I am sure that everybody wants to hear stories about like me going to the gym or my daughter or a myriad of ex-boyfriends, including an ex-boyfriend who just told me he was going to listen to every episode. And I was like, oh, I really hope I don't talk about him. It is time for me to put the guest first and foremost, especially today's guest, who is a delightful treat. This person is warm and energetic and owned it. Even when the first time that we met, she was in her parents' basement, which, by the way, is shockingly similar to the set of Wayne's World. She is a highly creative events leader and very new to her role of being the director of global events at Enable. It is my pleasure to welcome to Speaking of Events, Tara Salvatelli. Welcome to Speaking of Events.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here and chat with you about events.
Yes, yes. First, let's talk about your parents' basement. Is yeah. It, do you think more Wayne's World or more Brady Bunch? Where do you put it?
I am thinking more man cave, actually, you know, with a New England influence, of course. We have to have representation from all Boston sports in the man cave. And then, of course, being Italian, Salvatelli, you know, my father, Fred, needed to have some Sopranos representation as well in said man cave. And hey, what else could you possibly need in a man cave besides, you know, golf wallpaper? I mean, really, right? That really yes. just topped off the man cave.
So. I was a little disappointed I didn't see like hanging meat from the ceiling, but maybe that's more of like a dead
on the other side. That's the
yeah. other side of the that was a side I didn't see, obviously. Yes.
Yeah. And whatever else he has over there, the side we do not go on.
Yes, right. Right. Exactly. Well, I'm honored that you're going to spend some time with me today. Thank you so much, especially being so very new in this role. You just shared you're on week 6 of this role. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, welcome. I'm welcoming you to your own company that you've been there 6 weeks. And I am excited that you are one of our first guests on season 2. So thank you so much for being here. And I'm going to ask you the good old question all the way back from season 1 is, what is the one thing you wished more people knew about events?
How long are we chatting for today?
I've got days. you take your time. I got a drink and a snack. I'm good.
Perfect. Oh gosh. I mean, where does one start exactly? You know, one thing I think I've always said, and I feel super strongly about is, I don't feel as though anybody really knows what events entails. You know, I get, oh, cool. You plan parties with some cool balloons and, you know, magicians and how's the food and this, that, and everything. And while those elements are, you know, definitely critical to the event experience, there's a lot more to it. And, you know, events has been consistently rated, event coordinator specifically, has consistently been rated one of the top 5 most stressful jobs to have. And it has beaten out even firefighters, which I will say, you know, we're not saving lives necessarily, but sometimes you can be in a situation to save a life. So you kind of never know what's going to happen. And I think for me, I wish that, you know, everybody got a little taste of planning even just a small little offsite, that we can start off with a half an hour. That works just fine. You know, put together an agenda, find a location, make sure that you're communicating to everyone, keep that within budget, et cetera, et cetera. So my wish is that everyone could plan some type of event and then be able to have a little bit of a better understanding as to what's involved in event planning.
Absolutely. Wouldn't that up the empathy quotient tremendously if everybody had to step in those shoes, even for, you're right, just a little half an hour event with
I'm
all
starting
those,
low.
Right, all those stipulations, and then book the magician.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. While you're getting pinged on multiple different communication avenues too.
So. Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah. Let's keep that one in mind. Yes. You're calling me, you're texting me, you're teamsing me, you're pigeon carrying me. You're doing all kinds of different things while I'm trying to actually solve the first problem that came at me. So
what is, and I've had many guests who tell me, remind me that yes, it is one of the most stressful jobs. And while you're not fighting fires, you're putting out a lot of fires every moment sometimes, right? Solve this problem. So what do you feel is the most stressful thing when you think of all the stressful stuff that happens within creating and executing a fantastic event? What's the top stressor for you?
The unknowns. Those are what will get you in the end. So to me, it's about the tiny, tiny little devil is in the details items. And it can be items that you don't even know are going to happen. So you just really, to me, I feel like it's having to prepare for the unknown. And knowing that anything can happen at any time, you know, specifically, I think the biggest challenge that I've had throughout my career is probably technology and not being able to control it. Because I would definitely say that I'm super type A personality. And I think that
I've never met an event person, including myself, who's a type A person. Yes, so talk to me about control, please.
Yes. I mean, control is just, it's hard. It's hard. Cause you know, if you mess it up, then you know that you did it. Right. And you can hold yourself accountable, but you know, sometimes it's sort of like letting go of the reins and being confident enough in your team and, you know, your plans that you've put together, that they're all going to be just fine and everything is executable and fixable. But thinking on your feet, I think is super, super important. And, I stay up at night, all hours of the night, thinking of things that could potentially happen and hope that none of them do come to fruition the next day or the day following that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in that moment, in the moment that something is out of your control, it's gone awry or not as you planned or as you envisioned, what do you say to yourself to not?
I think that it's something that you have to do a lot of self-talk. I think that's really important. You know, not be so hard on yourself. We are all human and things can happen. And if you've done your best and you have your backup plans and you're thinking on the fly, normally most things are relatively fixable. You know, I have been in situations two situations, now that I'm thinking about this the more thoroughly, that were completely awry. And it's not anything that I think that I could have prevented. When I think back on both of those situations, one in particular always stands out to me.
Can you share? Are you going to share it?
Oh yeah. I love this one. So, well, I didn't love it at the time.
Right. No, but they always make the best stories.
Right? In hindsight, not on sight, but yes, no, in hindsight. Yes. So I had a convention and it was in Phoenix, and I'll say that because it was ridiculously hot. And you know, So anyways, it was in Phoenix and there were multiple pieces. We had the entire convention center. So there were a lot of moving parts happening, you know, simultaneously. And I get the ping that our giveaway bags, our registration bags, were spelt wrong. It was a health and wellness convention, And the bag said Heathy instead of healthy. Yeah. And we had close to almost 9,000 people that were coming in the following day. So, right. I, you know, don't own a printing press and, you know, I don't have access to 9,000 new plastic giveaway bags. And so, you know, what do we do in that situation? Do we not give them out? Do we, you know, say a whoops, I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. You know, what do we do?
You got a Sharpie and put an L in there,
right? Oh, sorry about that. You know, we can't spell, but what I thought of was like, you know, I know it's a health and wellness conference, but, you know, maybe if we get Heath bars to try to incorporate, have a Heathy day, we apologize for, you know, this error and we'll be sending you a new bag in the mail, you know, in the next couple of weeks. So it actually ended up working out very, very well doing it that way. But, you know, again, I think it goes back to the thinking on the fly and how can you creatively spin, you know, a problem into something that actually ended up being a good thing. People were like, hey, great. I love Heath bars. I haven't had a Heath bar in years.
Right.
So, yeah. So I was like, here, have a Heathy day. It was almost as though we intended it to be like that, but, you know, we didn't. And then a couple weeks later, they get another bag. So they ended up with two bags and a Heath bar. I mean, how can you go wrong?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So, and my guess is now nothing that gets triple checked, like the spelling of graphics.
Well, you know, this one was a tricky one. And I think it's important to note again that I was not in the office when the proof came in, and the proof went to an executive, and I will not state which one exactly. But I will say that it went to an executive that I might have reported into. And so he approved said proof. And so that's a tricky one when you're not the one who's responsible for said error, but yet you are ultimately responsible for the entire event and everything that flows within it. So, you know, I think that's also another challenge that can happen sometimes within events too. You know, other people being involved and hands in the pot and things like that, it can create chaos sometimes.
Yes. Was his name Heathcliff? Like, was it like, you know, Heathcliff. Was it like a vanity bag for him? I'm thinking of all the possibilities.
Exactly. On the little note card that said we were sorry and to have a Heathy day, I should have just put his picture on there yes. In the middle of the bar. Yeah.
This dude's fault. That is the challenge, because things get out of our control. I experience this in my business too. And certainly events that we support, right? Things that are not your fault happen. And yet sometimes you do, as the event leader, you have to take ownership of it.
Yes. I could not call said person and say, hey, thanks a lot for approving something that was spelled wrong.
That's right.
How busy were you that day?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, you gotta own it. You have to own it. Yeah. And this is something I experience absolutely on the speaker side, because Ovation comes in, my company, we do lots of speaker training, we get speakers ready. And sometimes disaster strikes. And and if the trainer that has worked, one of the Ovation coaches, is standing in the back of the room and watching an absolute meltdown, and there's nothing we can do in that moment, we still have to take ownership of it and say, okay, not necessarily this is our fault because this person had a meltdown on stage, but that will say, okay, let's debrief what happened, and then let's look ahead and see how we can fix it next time.
Exactly. And so, I think, you know, that is another beast within itself are, you know, your speakers. And some folks are get stage fright when they get up on stage, and, you know, it could be the most gregarious, outgoing person on a Zoom call or in, you know, a small conference room, but then they get on stage and it's just like, it completely goes awry. And, you know, that's why your walkthroughs are important. However, it's usually kind of the same type of person that also has a lot of changes and whatnot to said slides and presentations on the fly. And so I think between all of that, it causes a lot of chaos in general from a speaker's perspective, and then also just from an events perspective as well too.
I can't relate to anything you've just said. I relate to everything you just said. Okay. So with that, Sarah, do you have a speaker's disaster story you would be willing to share with the Speaking of Events audience and me?
Oh, yes. I have one in particular that always stands out to me. This speaker we were very, very, very excited about. I used a lot of times right there because this person was highly promoted as our keynote speaker. So it wasn't just, you know, your run-of-the-mill speaker or breakout session speaker or, you know, even an MC, if you will. This was our keynote.
This is an outside keynote hired in speaker.
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. And so with this particular keynote, everyone was very, very, very excited to hear this gentleman speak. And so people arrived on time, which is always something you worry about. Are they going to arrive on time? This is the big keynote. This is the drum roll, please, person who really heads up the event, if you will. And so this person was supposed to be on at 9 a.m. And my assistant at the time was messaging me because this person was not in the green room. And everyone was very, very, very concerned about that. And so, what do you mean he's not there? Are you kidding? You're kidding, right? He's not there. Why isn't he there? I don't see him here. He's not over there. So he wasn't at the hotel. No one could find him at the hotel. His car service had been waiting for him for about 20 minutes and he just didn't show up. And he didn't show up to the green room, like I said. And, so I had to get a backup plan in place pretty quickly, and enlist one of my executives to kind of step in should this person not show up. But apparently had a lot of fun the night before, at the hotel bar, on us too, which was also nice. So anyways, very, very hungover and apparently was running behind, did end up running into the convention center. So there was a lot of, you know, sweating and just nastiness happening. And I say that because that's not ideal when then you're going to be under, you know, a massive set of rigging lights and what have you. So he ended up doing okay, but it really just set the whole thing off on a super bad note. You know, you typically don't want your speaker sweating profusely on stage and not breathing correctly. I mean, it just kind of loses credibility from a, you know, health and wellness standpoint when
right.
you show up hungover and sweaty on the stage. So
yeah.
While he did show up, he didn't show up with his A game. So it was not an ideal scenario. So that's probably the best one I have because
yeah, those are some warm-up techniques we do not recommend at Ovation. That
yes, yes, yes. I've had a drunken magician before too. That was a good time. That, you know, never use your own security to, you know, remove you know, an artist that you've paid to do a performance typically, but you know, you gotta do what you gotta do sometimes.
Right. You gotta fight those fires when they happen. Wow.
Usually it's something else unruly that happens where the security needs to step into place, but.
Right. Not your own people that you brought in. Woo.
Exactly. While, as I say, the unknowns, right? Like I had yes. somebody trip down an escalator. I had somebody, you know, fall into the entrance of our dinner. I mean, everything, nothing happens. Just, you know, one thing over here, thing over there. No, it's all at the same time. You know? Yeah. Oh yes. Yeah. Medical emergencies, you name it. Mm-hmm.
That yeah, sometimes things happen. Things happen. And you're like, oh, well, that's new. That's exciting. Like, oh,
well, huh? Interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Just when I thought I, you know, kind of had experienced everything.
Oh, yes. Wow. Yeah. So assuming your keynote speaker's not sweating and sweating out last night's beverages and everybody's there and on time and excited and what is the thought process before? Like, how do you figure out what people want to hear? I mean, it's one thing to get to the big performance, but the stuff before and figuring out like, oh, what's going to get people excited to attend this event and knowing what is the content that their ears are hungry for?
Yeah, I think for specifically for a convention, conference, seminar, something with a longer duration, it's very, very important. So sort of to me, it's a multifold. You know, it's important to take some of the data that you get from, you know, your road shows or your smaller, maybe 2-3 hour events, and take that feedback. Watch engagement as well. I find that that's something that I don't think a lot of people talk about, but I think it's super important. You know, are they staying in the room? Are they engaged with the speakers? Are they interested in what's, you know, being talked about? Are they participating? Are they asking questions? And you can get a lot of that from your smaller events and you build that into your larger events. I find that, you know, EMSs, if you have a good event management software system, that's definitely very, very helpful. You know, you want to take all that feedback, read it, go through it with a fine tooth comb. I think it's super, super important. And, you know, a lot of times what I have found is that sometimes you have, you know, a committee of folks internally that believe that maybe it's XYZ, but in the end, if you're looking at data, data is not lying to you. If they're saying right. They didn't like the session, they didn't like the session. So don't then duplicate that, come up with something else, you know, listen to that feedback that your attendees provide to you. I think that's really important. You know, because like I said, there's some things that I think, oh, that is so cool. And then it may not be. And if right. So, if they're telling you they don't like it, then they don't like it. So I think it's important to know your audience and, you know, target them and listen to their feedback.
Yeah.
As you're building out, you know, future events. Because each event should be a stepping system, in my humble opinion. And it should lead to further engagement. And, you know, you keep that experience and connection going with them through events.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So you're nailing it. And what is, and we talked a little bit about what keeps you up at night, all the unknowns, right? We don't hit the new exciting things that may happen, but what else keeps you up at night in terms of anything?
Yeah. I mean, all of it really. You know, I think your pre-event, it's always the, you know, are the T's crossed? Are the I's dotted? Is the team okay? Is everybody comfortable and prepared? You know, are my executives prepared? Is everything in order for the attendees? You know, are the registration systems going to work? Are the badges going to print? You know, and I've had even situations where I had a band basically come kick off one event that I had, and one of the band members kicked one of the cords around the registration area, and yeah, that was a good time too. and you know, it's like beep, 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 boom. Yeah. Like, oh no, what do you mean? And really it was just the cord came undone. But
kicked in anger, kicked it
accident.
Out.
It was an accident.
Okay. Accidental kick.
It's like ginormous trombone. I don't even know how he didn't like trip over himself. And then I'm not sure how that wasn't even a bigger situation than what it was, but you know, it knocked down the registration badge system. And it's things like that, that, you know, like I said, the unknowns that you can't really prepare for.
Yeah.
Everything's taped down, but you never know, you know, people aren't paying attention sometimes and, you know, things can happen. So I think about that. I think of even health, right? What if somebody gets sick? You know, what if it could be food poisoning, it could be anything. So I'm super paranoid, but, you know, I think it's always important to have a backup to your backup, because you just don't know.
Right. You're right. You don't know. And then is there room in those sleepless nights for any of the, just see it from my perspective, I spend a lot of time thinking about and other event professionals asking me, what are you seeing? What are other people doing? What are the trends? And
yeah,
because we want to stay trendy,
yes.
Also not be stale. And also what, just your point earlier about looking at the data versus the opinion. So yes. What are you seeing in terms of trends, or how do you feel about trends? And
Friends, I think they're super important. I think that, you know, you need to carve out time to find out what's happening, what people are responding to. For example, I would say that during COVID, people's attention spans went from about 15 seconds to 3. So knowing that, does it make sense to have, an hour long keynote, or does it make a little more sense to make it a little bit shorter in duration and, gamify different elements of your event and, do surveys and polls and things like that. Make everything more of an experience. I think the more that you make events an experience versus I got to go to this conference, the better. And I don't know what's going on. I'm just so excited about events.
I know you get it. It's the, you get phlegmy and excited.
Clamped over here. But I think that, to your point, that is the challenge, right? Is it's finding the time to, watch the trends, even the communication styles and patterns, and how to communicate with folks, from an invite standpoint to a follow-up standpoint. What is that, special sauce, special ingredient, and, what makes it work? Each different type has a different communication pattern and style and, method, essentially. We're saying more now it's towards graphics and videos versus, paragraphs of why Johnny is the best keynote ever and you have to come to the event. Right. And so, I gotta be honest with you, I've never truly ever heard of it being drilled down that much, even from, webinars, it's this style. Okay, conferences, it's this style. Seminars, this style. Roadshows, this style. Incentive trips, this style. Oh, wow. But again, it goes back to people's attention spans and, you gotta continue to, I think, watch all those trends. They're coming from multiple different places too. You have a lot of EMS companies that are definitely on the forefront. They work with pretty much any company out there has some sort of an EMS, and they have the data. They track the data. They have massive teams that provide said data. Take that. Take pieces of that. I don't ever like to duplicate anybody else's ideas or, events or anything like that. What I like to do is have that event spring ideas back to me. So, oh, wow, that was super cool. Or I like how they set that up. I love that signage. I love, the food elements and, oh, wow, that band was great. Okay, cool. So let's take pieces of other events and sort of build off each other. And, I think it's important that we all, while I think we're all type A personalities, we all can learn from each other and, expand our programs by taking one idea and spinning it up. And, every idea came from somewhere. And so, I think it's really important. And that's what I like to do with my team is, how about this? And that initial idea may not even be the idea. It may be, okay, now she thought of that. Oh, wow, wait, what about this? And that creative aspect of things. So while there's a lot of details, I think the creative piece is so, so important as part of the overall event experience. And it's important to carve out time and just even in a room together, just spitballing ideas. And I think that sometimes the details can get a little too heavy and that it's important to carve out time to be creative and think outside of the box.
Nice. Yes. Excellent. Whew. Well, you're finding your groove in your new role. You're in, as we mentioned, the top sixth week.
Yes.
Whole 6 weeks. That is,
I'm an OG. You found
a coffee maker yet. I mean, that is awesome.
Oh, I always find that coffee.
Right. You always, yeah. Mm-hmm. All event professionals find a coffee maker. I know. So you grew up here in the Boston area where similar-ish to where I am. You got a Bachelor of Arts at Worcester State University. And yes, people, that is pronounced Worcester, even though it looks like Worcester.
It's Worcester.
Worcester, right? You say that better because you're native Massachusetts. I am not. And so how did you end up here? In events, take us.
Yeah. Okay. This is a good story.
Okay.
But I'm biased, obviously. I always wanted to be a social worker. Go figure. And so I find it kind of funny now when I think back on that. But yeah, no, I wanted to be a social worker. And so in high school, instead of doing like your typical, okay, cool, I'm going to work at the ice cream place down the street or this restaurant and be a busser or whatnot, I went to our local, actually the Department of Mental Health. I walked right in there my junior year in high school. My thought process was, again, back to planning. I thought, gee, if I have 2 years experience before I even get to college, then by the time I get out of college, I will have 6 years experience in the mental health industry. So I will be far superior and able to get whatever job I want. That it was what was going on in my 17 or actually 16 year old mind at the time. And so I did that. I would go after school. I got med certified. I would go and take dual diagnosis patients. So patients that, you know, had multiple personalities and physical disabilities out to just grab coffee, groceries, get their hair done, things like that to try to, you know, normalize them to society essentially. And then probably about my sophomore year in college, I was like, I can't separate this. I can't. So I had a very hard time not being able to fix situations. And I wasn't okay with that. And it really was quite draining. So I'm glad that I did do that. So I knew that that was not, you know, what I could do for the rest of my life. I got a random opportunity. When I say random, it was very random. My cousin had been in radio and she said, hey, you know what? I was just working with Universal Music Group and they have an opportunity for a college rep. And I was like, oh, what is this all about? And I did artist development for Universal Music Group for the back end of college. And so from there, I went on to CBS Radio in Boston and I did promotions and, events and sponsorships and expos and all kinds of, you know, different marketing elements. And so I was kind of going, wait a second, I've been in radio and entertainment for, gosh, about 7 years. I love this. I love planning these events and, you know, just watching them come to life. I loved all of it. And so I moved into hospitality from there. And that's really where my events career started. So I always tell folks that I'm definitely self-taught. I didn't go to school for hospitality. I went to school for communications and I'm a minor in psychology. And so anyone can teach themselves anything. So you don't necessarily even have to have a career in hospitality. You just have to be open to learning and have a drive for it. And I think that's super important. I would always say that. I say that to interns. I say that to current staff. You can learn anything in this industry. It's that drive and the love for hospitality that I can't teach you. So, yeah. So I feel like I just was like super long-winded there, but I wasn't trying.
I loved it. It was so great. And congratulations. I look forward to seeing where you go in this role at Enable. You want to tell us what you're doing a little bit today, these days?
Yeah, absolutely. So, we are an MSP, so we are a software company, and we are doing very well, which is a lovely thing to know and hear. We are one of the leaders in this particular channel and specific industry. And there was a need for a global events director. I have a fantastic team. They are awesome. They're all over the globe. I have staff in Canada. I have staff in the UK and in the good old US of A. And we have events going on all over the world. So right before I got on this call, there was a little bit of a fire going on. We have some grandfathered contracts that we're trying to work through some of the timing and the spacing and whatnot. Our attendee levels have changed significantly from, which I'm sure anybody in events right now is probably going through this with some grandfathered in contracts where what made sense maybe back in 2019 doesn't really make sense for 2023 or 24. So now it's a ebb and flow trying to adjust things and, trying to predict your numbers too. I think that's definitely, you know, something that is on the forefront as well, is that, you know, do you hybrid it? There's still probably about 25% of society out there that is, you know, COVID and immunity and all of that. I mean, these are concerns. They're concerns overall from a health standpoint. Whether it may not even be that attendee, it may be the attendee's, you know, family member or whatnot. So kind of looking at all of that and what makes the most sense in putting together the our strategic plan for 2023. We're also going to be implementing, or we're in the process of implementing and contracting, a new EMS system to help automate some functions. And a roadshow, our annual conference, and what else we have going on here? Well, that's probably good for today.
Oh, I think you have a lot going on. I mean, I'm exhausted.
The team, with a good team, and, you know, as long as everybody's eager and you're ready to go and excited, it just makes it so much easier.
Awesome. Well, congratulations again. Happy 6 weeks. And Tara Salvatelli, are you ready for our lightning express round?
I am ready. She's ready. It's ready to be. How's that?
She's ready. Yes. Okay. We're doing 45 seconds on the clock. There's no clock. And I'm going to ask you 7 questions. Okay. Here we go. Number one, what is your favorite moment in the event process?
Contracting.
Oh, yeah, first person to say that. Who do you consider your mentor?
Meredith Burkich. Yes.
Yes, love her. Name number three, name your favorite Sopranos character.
Oh, Polly.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Oh, yes, Polly.
I even said that really Italian too, like Polly.
Polly.
Uncle Polly over here.
What do you do every day to stay healthy and sane? It's actually healthy, but I wanted to say healthy.
I love it. Coffee.
Yes.
Don't talk to me until it happens.
Done. Okay. Number five. If you weren't talking to me right now, what would you be doing?
Working out our space for the next conference.
What is the best way to take care of an event professional?
Appreciate them.
And number seven, you better get this right for my comedy callback. What is your favorite candy treat?
A Heath bar.
I bet it to you. Literally. But yay. Thank you. Congratulations. Tara Salvatelli has lived through the lightning express round, and she totally bought into my comedy element. So I always appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem.
Oh my goodness. Tara, see, now I'm phlegmy. Thank you. I got excited.
Pass things along, you know.
That's right. Tara Salvatelli, where can people find you if they want to connect with you?
Absolutely. I'm on LinkedIn, and I welcome any and all.
She does. She welcomes, because she connected with me on LinkedIn. So she will welcome you. I tell you. I promise you.
Absolutely.
We will.
For everything, for real.
Yes.
I think it's important. We all have to support each other, and it's a tough industry to get into. And so I'm here.
Absolutely. It's tough to get into, tough to survive in.
Yes.
And we will put your LinkedIn link in the show notes so people can find you if they want to. Thank you. Thank you for your time today. I really appreciate it. Congratulations on the new job and doing a phenomenal job with me today. Thank you so much, Tara Salvatelli. Thank you to our audience. And for sticking with me, season 2, here we are. If you like events, if you love events, even if you loathe events, but tell someone about this podcast and give us stars. You don't have to rate me anything. Just give me some stars. I'll take it. Whatever. Thank you again, Tara. I really appreciate it. What a great boost to my day. Thank you.
Awesome.
And
thank you.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Everybody's getting a Heath bar after this episode. This episode brought to you by Heath bars. And remember that whatever you speak about, remember to be speaking of events.
Speaking of Events is sponsored by Ovation, the gold standard for professional presence and speaker development training, helping everyone get prepared, get confident, and get ovations.